Hear Proverbs 4:23. Let's say it together. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. What is this thing about the heart? We talked a good bit about it last week. The scriptures, as you may remember, use that word heart over 900 times, but very, very rarely is that word used to refer to this organ that pumps blood. So as we deliberated and discussed among ourselves, if you were here at the retreat, we broke into groups and talked about that. If you were here, you remember, we decided that that word means something to do with the inner person, the real me, something about the essence of the core of our being. God said himself that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So this morning we're going to focus on something that flows out of that heart from the latter part of the verse. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. The heart is this complex thing. The Lord looks at the heart. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there's your heart going to be also. Out of the heart come these things which defile the man. The Word of God is able to judge between the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Jesus says, I am he who searches the hearts. So this watch over your heart is something near and dear to the heart of God, because he says, that's what matters to me about you people, your hearts. I don't look at the external appearances. So this morning again, we're going to focus on the latter part of the verse. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. What flows from your heart? The springs of life. And the couple of versions that you might have with you this morning, watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. It is the wellspring of life. Out of it spring the issues of life. You get the concept of a spring of water just springing up. That's what flows out of this thing called the heart. So let's talk this morning about what that is. Shall we ask the Lord to help us understand his word? Lord, we do need you to help us. Our minds may be distracted by what happened just a few minutes or hours ago this morning. We may be confused about what is ahead in the coming week. We may be really burdened down by things that have befallen us in recent days. We're asking you, though, to help us put aside those distractions, even those heavy hurts, and help us focus on your word. We're asking you to empower your word in such a way that we will hear your word speaking directly to this thing that you call our heart, our inner person, who we really are in your terms. We ask you to do this because you promise that your word cannot return void. Not a bit of it can fail. It will accomplish what you sent it forth to do. So based on that, we ask you to do that in this room with us here today. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's say that this glass represents our lives. This might be a nice looking glass, but the primary purpose of a glass is not to sit on a shelf and look nice, is it? No, the primary purpose of a glass is to give a life-giving, refreshing drink of water to the one who needs it. If this glass has a hole in the bottom, or if it's cracked, or if in any way it fails to deliver on its primary function of giving me that refreshing drink of water, then it's really pretty much useless, isn't it? It has failed in its primary function as a drinking glass. In a similar way, God says our lives, like this glass, are not to be marked purely by the externals. Yes, we have bodies and skin, and externals matter, but not at all like they matter to most of us. God says what comes from the inside is what marks a person. Jesus said who we are is determined by what flows out of us. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. What comes out of the man, those are the things that defile the man. God says, I'm the one who searches the hearts, the internals. So who we are, no matter what size or shape, there might be all different kinds of shapes and sizes for us, tall ones and short ones and different kinds, but no matter who we are, what matters to God is not the externals, but what flows out of this drinking glass. Now, Hollywood has a way of finding the really beautiful glasses. Have you ever noticed that? And they put those up on the big screen, and we look at that and we say, wow, would you look at that? But then when those things start to pour out what's inside of them, sometimes we say, you know, I think I'd just soon live in the corner of a roof than with that. You ever thought that? So no matter what we're shaped like, what God says is important is what flows out of us. Because it really is true that the essence of who we are is what flows out, not what the exterior looks like. Now for us regular people, us with a glass maybe like this, just regular folks, wouldn't you say that there is no more satisfying thing than for this glass of life-giving, refreshing water to be given to somebody, and they take a drink, and from you they receive life-giving refreshment? Wouldn't you say that that is very satisfying to them if they receive that? And wouldn't you say, too, that it's very, very satisfying to you if you notice that your life gives refreshment and life to someone else? And I think that God also is very satisfied when he sees us doing this, when he sees us giving life-giving refreshment to others, and when what we give to others, from that life just bursts out and just flows and just kind of erupts, where kind of get the picture of an oasis in a desert, right? And here's a place where there's a spring of water, and all around that spring there's life. So God is thrilled when he sees us giving life and life bursting forth from us as we give this life-giving drink. And that's why Jesus said himself, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. What else are we told? Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? Who is it? Well, it's he who has a clean heart, or clean hands and a pure heart. That's who it is. So the pure in heart, what is pure? What is pure? Well, the dictionary definition is that which is clean and free from contaminating substance. So a pure heart is clean and free from a contaminating substance, right? But of course, it doesn't always work out that way, does it? Because life has a way of being rather messy, doesn't it? Life has a way of, even though I have these really good intentions to have a pure heart, life has a way of just really getting it messy. Like, here's some stuff, right? Well, here's what I had when I had those hateful words towards somebody this week. And here's some impure thoughts and sexual desires that just kind of poured down into my life, that I poured in there. Here's some attitude I expressed this week. That guy is a real idiot. Just a real idiot. I can't stand him. In fact, I hate him. Oh, wait, it's not good to say hate, is it? Well, I just sincerely despise him. Is that better? Sure wish I had the money to buy a car like Joe's. How come he gets all the breaks? I wish I had some of what he has. Yeah, the other day I told a friend that I had a prayer request and I wanted him to pray about it, but you know what? It was just thinly disguised gossip. How about this? This is when I came by and I smiled at that person and I made it look nice, but I can't stand her. Shall we spice it up with a little steak sauce? There's the swimsuit issue. And I didn't just glance at it. I really enjoyed that. You ever been there? You know, I can't really say that I've been honoring the principle of the day of rest. It's not really been my life lately. I used some pretty demeaning words to my wife the other day. Sarcasm mixed in there. You know, I really need to clean some of this up. I think I better do that. I think I ought to try some ammonia. That'd be good, wouldn't it? And then there was that minor deception. I didn't really deceive them outright. I didn't lie. I just let them think what they thought. And, you know, I didn't lie. Well, you know what this is? This is just plain old bitterness and unforgiveness. What? I got to forgive him? No way. Absolutely not. This is what I told my mom. You do not get it. What is wrong with you? Well, I didn't tell her that. I just thought it. That makes it okay, right? And I guess I could keep going. Maybe we ought to put a little soap in there. That's my money, folks. Don't tell me how to spend it. Well, that is something, isn't it? So even though I had every intention of keeping a pure heart, the reality is it has become horribly polluted and impure, maybe even poisonous. I don't have to tell you that this is no wellspring of life. This is nothing anybody wants any of. Nobody wants to drink from this. I want to talk to you about a pure heart. In contrast to this, a pure heart is morally pure. My actions, what I do, what I say, what I watch, what I participate in, my body, what I involve it in, how I use it, my thought life, my imaginations and fantasies and dreams, my attitudes, whether they're hateful or vengeful or jealous or loving, all of these things, not morally pure here, is it? This is not a life of a pure heart, a morally pure heart. You know what else a pure heart is? It's single-minded in devotion and commitment to God. It says in whatever I do, whether it's changing diapers or going to the grocery store, studying for this exam, working on this project, no matter what I do, I am doing all for God's honor in my life. That's single-minded devotion. This is not a life of single-minded devotion, is it? This is not a life of a person with a pure heart. You know what else a pure heart is? A pure heart is grieved by what is impure. Grieved. Not indifferent to impurity, grieved. Not enticed by it, grieved. Not enamored, not attracted to it, grieved. Some people, though, are quite comfortable getting close to the gates of unrighteousness. They are not properly offended at what is a stench in God's nostrils. Would you drink this? God says, I want a pure heart, and I want you to be grieved by what is impure. Does the constant taking of the Lord's name in vain, does it torment you like it used to? Does the off-color jokes that surround you, do they offend you like they used to? Do unholy lifestyles, you know what I mean, do unholy lifestyles, do addictions to unholy things, do they vex your soul when you see them? Or has the politically correct idea of tolerance suffocated some of your hatred for sin? This life is not the life of a pure heart. This life is not grieved by what is impure. It has embraced what is impure. Yet another thing about a pure heart. A pure heart is free from known unconfessed sin. What does that mean? Free from sin? No, it means free from sin that God has alerted you to and you have not left it unconfessed, free from known unconfessed sin. When the Spirit of God reveals something to you as sin, you take action, you respond, you quickly confess it and make it right. You do not allow sin to remain unconfessed and undealt with. When you do, this is what you have, or worse. This is not a life that is quick to be free from unconfessed, known unconfessed sin. This is not the life of a pure heart. So is there any hope at all for this life? Is there any way this person can be made new again, can be cleansed? How? How can they? Well, I want to give you three words. Three simple words, really. Confession, repentance, and cleansing. The first two words are our part. And when we've done our part, the third word is the work of Christ. Confession. Lord Jesus, I confess that I did not do what I should have. I sinned. I did wrong. I don't know what came over me, but it was wrong. And I own it. I acknowledge that it was sin. I'm not making excuses. It was rotten. I acknowledge it before you. I sinned, and I sinned against you, a holy God, and no unholiness is near you, but I sinned. Repentance. God, I am sorry for what I did. I regret it, and I hate it, and I did it anyway, but I am sorry. And I repent of it. And repentance means I turn and go 180 degrees in the opposite way. It's a change of mind. There was, Lord, I blew it, but I, with your help, with your grace, I am turning away from that now. I want, by your power and your enabling strength, for that not to characterize me ever again. I repent of that. I turn 180 degrees and go away. And when we confess and when we repent of sin, the Lord says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Lord, I thank you for cleansing me, for washing me clean, for making me brand new in your sight. Thank you, Lord. Your word promises that I will be clean by your grace and by your power, cleansed all over again. Thank you for a pure heart. When we confess our sins, when we repent of them, Jesus Christ comes, cleanses us, makes us brand new all over again. And what flows from our heart is clear, cool, refreshing water. Pure again. A wellspring. Life-giving water. Fresh. No more poison. No more junk. Those words are really so simple. It seems too easy, but it really is that easy. But then again, it's incredibly difficult. It's probably the most difficult thing we will ever do, because we will try anything other than confessing and naming our sin and repenting of it. We'll use all kinds of methods to come up with ways to clean it ourselves. Surely there's some soap other than owning up to my sin before God, calling it what it is, confessing it, and repenting of it. There must be some way. That's the way we operate, isn't it? God says, no. You confess your sin. You turn from it 180 degrees in the different direction. I'll cleanse you. How do we know that? It's based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God did not want the relationship between us and Him to be destroyed by sin, so He sent Jesus Christ to die, to make payment for those sins. But I want to say something that is probably the most important thing I've ever said here. And this is what it is. It's a pure heart is absolutely vital to an ongoing relationship with God. God hates sin, and he cannot and will not tolerate it. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I have all that we had a moment ago in this glass of mine and I refuse to confess it and repent of it, God says, guess what? God says, we don't have a relationship. If a spouse is unfaithful to the spouse, do they come waltzing in, traipsing in, acting as if nothing happened? If they do, there's no relationship there, is there? God says, I have made provision by the precious blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. You will not waltz into my presence all impure with all kinds of things unconfessed. I have made a way for you to be cleansed. You will not walk in here and treat my Son's sacrifice that way. If you want a relationship with me, if you want fellowship with me, you must come to me clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we try everything and anything to do other than that. And I am convinced of better things for you than a non-relationship with God. But it really is that serious. If we decide, nope, I'm not going there. God, you cannot touch that thing. If you put his finger on something in your heart or in your life and you say, no, that's far enough, God. You know what happens to the relationship? It comes to a screeching halt. Can't have a relationship with God that when he touches something and says, this has to be dealt with, and we say, see ya. The relationship comes to a screeching halt. So really, folks, to ignore the Spirit of God when he puts his finger on something that needs to be dealt with and to refuse to confess and repent of those things that he has touched is terribly dangerous, terrifyingly so. The Bible says it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God, to deal with the sin in our hearts and lives that he has pointed out and say, it's no big deal. Here's what we're going to do for the next few moments, actually several minutes. We're going to take time for you to get alone with God. In your bulletin is a slip of scriptures, and I would encourage you to take that slip and pray through them. These are the scriptures that talk about cleansing. Henry, would you mind getting some more bulletins? Because I see some folks don't have those. It should be out on the back. If not, those slips should be next to them. We're going to invite you to take an extended period of time just alone. Yes, there are people around us, but I want you to take the time to just be alone. It's just you and the Lord. Here's what you're going to be doing. Praying through those verses. Lord, is there something that you're speaking to me about that I need cleansing from? If you need a bulletin, just raise your hand and we'll get you some. We're going to invite you to go anywhere in the building today. There's a few rooms that are being occupied by children's ministries, but every other room, hallway, is available for you to get alone and get with God. In some of the rooms, there's probably 7 or 8 of these throughout. There's a couple at the back of the room here. There are some bowls of water. Next to those bowls are some scripture verses that talk about cleansing. I invite you, after you have confessed and repented of your sins, anything the Lord brings to mind, I invite you to experience in a more vivid way the Lord's cleansing by washing your hands in that water. And there's a towel there, and you can kneel there, you can stay as long as you like. And in fact, you may want to have the attitude of taking your shoes off, because God is a holy God. And when we approach him, he will not be approached by people who do not respect his holiness. And various times in the scriptures, he has said, take off your shoes, for you are on the place where you are on is holy ground because of his presence. You may find it helpful to kneel, or you may desire to lay face down before the Lord. Why are we taking this time setting aside? It's because of that truth that if our hearts are not clean and pure before him, as I said, the relationship stops right there. It can't go any further with the Lord as long as we allow known unconfessed sin to remain in our lives. Not asking you to dredge up things, just asking you to open the scriptures. Maybe you'll use these verses, you maybe use some others. Let it be a quiet time. You know, life is so busy and full of noise that sometimes we don't hear the Lord because we have so much noise. What is he speaking to you about? Follow those words, confession, repentance, and then begin to thank him for his cleansing. When after about 10 or 15 minutes, you'll hear the piano start playing, and that'll be your signal to return to this room, and we'll do some other things that will conclude the service. Okay, this is a time for you and the Lord. I'll ask you not to talk. I'll ask you just to let it be a precious time between you and the Lord. All right? Let's go in an attitude of prayer and waiting on the Lord.